Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord today, and good to be able to look out and see these wonderful faces I've not seen in a long time. And you've not seen me in a long time. It's been a few years. We have been able to come back for a few funerals here and there. Not just you really want to do that, but that's part of it. But boy, has God blessed us, and I know He's blessed you guys as well. And I was just thinking, man, it's been probably 11, 12 years, something like that. And we had a wonderful time here, and a lot of great and wonderful memories that we have hung on to. And JD and Gracie and Christina is here with me. If you guys will stand real quick, let everybody see you. Yeah, they don't like that. JD's a senior in high school, and he started Little Ed here, and so it's great kind of memories to come back and remember that. And I was showing a picture of somebody the other day of the church, and I said, this is what we looked like then, and that's when I had hair, and memories, and boy, just how things have come around full circle. And Gracie's at Liberty University, and so she was able to come home for the weekend and be with us, and so we're thankful to have her with us this weekend. We don't have, we've taken the whole day off so we could spend to catch up on everybody and talk to people and just enjoy the day. And good thing you don't have service tonight, so you can bear one message anyway today. And so I'm looking forward to talking about what God has for us. I'm going to tell a little bit more, but as you're turning in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9, go ahead and get you ready to where we be at Matthew 9, and we're going to be starting in verse 18. So many wonderful people, and I was making a list, and I said, man, if I start talking about names, I'll be there all day long. And but boy, we really wrote down quite a few, and then there's some that are just not here no more, and that really hurts you, because you know that you thought of so many different people that are no longer here, and they were so special and meant a lot to me and my family, and they did a whole lot for us while we were here. And so we thank God for them. I was thinking the one thing that really stood out to me was, you know, how you guys would bring vegetables to us and different things. And I remember Marty one time brought us some vegetables. And I don't know if Marty remembers this or not, but he brought us all kind of things. But this big old head of cabbage, it looked like a bowling ball. Biggest head of cabbage I'd ever seen in my life. And we had ate all that, and it was so good. But he made a mistake. He asked Gracie. He said, Gracie, he said, what do you think about it? She said, oh, it was so good. But now that cabbage, you can keep it. And I had to tell her real quick, we can't tell people that. You can't say that. And but if you'll ask a kid, you'll get what the kid thinks. And but we had a wonderful time here. Man, God blessed us. I was here, associate pastor, youth and children, and we had seemed like a really good youth program at the time and children's program, and was blessed. I was able to do chaplain with football team in Honeacre, and basketball with Lebanon, baseball with Lebanon as well, and so was able to get into schools, and that's really where it's done. Is getting out in the highways and the byways. And I remember almost six years ago, where I'm at now, I told him, I said, I won't be known by who I am as a pastor and in this chair, but what I do on the outside of these four walls. And that is the thing that we must do. But it is an honor. I don't know how we got so blessed to be able to be asked back. I said, I don't know if I'll ever be asked back to any of my churches, but you know, you just never know. Sometimes you just think, am I good enough to ever preach at some of those churches? But anyway, God blessed us, and there were so many sweet people here, and I hope that God will bless us this morning. And I just want to preach a message on got to get to Jesus. I was thinking about what to talk about. What was I going to say this morning? What message do I want to preach? I don't want to preach a message that awes you. I don't want to preach a message that when you walk away that he's great in his presentation. But what is the message that Green Valley needs? And every Sunday I ask myself about friendship, where I'm at. I want to bring the very best message, but I want to bring the message that God wants. And so I prayed long and hard about this, and began to pray as I was thinking about coming back. And Green Valley is a very special place, and Lebanon's a very special place, and it's one of the few places that my mother and father lived here with us while we were here, and they're both gone now. And I passed away this past summer when you guys had asked me to come back. My dad was still alive and no issues or anything like that. And I said, well, Dad, you know, you should come back with us. And it would be great, you know, have him back and he could see some people too. And then he found out he had cancer, really went real fast. And he's no longer here with us. But man, God blessed us while we were here. And not only did we leave a church, we left a community. And so God blessed us with a lot of great and fond memories here. So today, as I preach, I'm not here to preach to beat on you or any of those things. I'm just here to bring a message that God's laid on my heart and then sharing some great memories after this is over in fellowship with food. And I know it'll be good. You have some fabulous cooks here, and unless they forgot how to cook, they're good cooks here. And so I am looking forward to that. I'll not keep you too long. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word in Matthew chapter 9 verse 18 through 26, the Bible says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came and beheld him and touched the hem of the garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned to him about, and when he saw her, said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this time. Lord, I thank you, Father, for just allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, such a great time to be here. Such great memories, Lord. And I'm so thankful for you allowing me the opportunity to preach this morning and this time at Green Valley. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to prep the hearts of men and women here. I pray, Father, Lord, if they don't know you, I pray they'll know you before this day is over. I pray, Lord, that you'll move and direct and give this message, Father, that you would encourage them and inspire them to get out and share it with others and be what God would have them to be, and that's to be the people to go and build the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We see right here about got to get to Jesus, and we couldn't get no CD to work. I was going to see if Gracie would sing it, but I know you've heard Got to Get to Jesus by the Collinsworth family. And so when I heard that song one time, God inspired me to write a message on got to get to Jesus, got to get to Jesus. And so when I looked at the passage, because we've got to get to Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no hope. There's no peace. There's nothing that we have in our life. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our rock. He is everything that we need. If you don't get anything else in this world, you better get Jesus or you get nothing. Amen? And one of these days, every one of us is going to go with death door. And when that day happens and when that day comes, you got to get to Jesus. And if you fail to get to Jesus, you fail altogether. And you'll never get to prosper what God would have you to prosper. What I see here in verse 18 and 19, we see the hopeless cry for life. And the man who cried, he was a ruler. He was a ruler and a father. And Jairus' daughter was only 12 years old. Jairus was a man of strong love. And he loved his daughter. And he was a man of strong courage. And he showed remarkable courage in approaching Jesus. And he went against the tide of other religious. And you see, this morning, he was going to get to Jesus. And he didn't really care how he got to Jesus. And he didn't really care in what way he got to Jesus. He was going to get to Jesus. He didn't really care who was there or what people thought, what people said, because it don't really matter. I got to get to Jesus. I've got to see him for myself. I got to touch the hem of that garment because I've got to be saved. I've got my faith. I need to see. I need to know. I need to understand. There's some people here this morning that just need to get to Jesus. Jesus is the only answer. I visit a hospital all the time, and there's nothing I can do when I walk into a room, but Jesus can do everything. I can pray all day long, and my prayers are in vain. But I can tell you what, when Jesus enters the room, when Jesus comes through the prayer, when Jesus comes into that person's either healed, touched, or something to the effect, but God touches them and he shows them. And when God does that, they know it. I remember very well when I was here, I remember walking into a room and I didn't feel very welcomed at that time. Didn't really know why I was there, but I just knew that they had came here in the past and I was going and I was going to do my part. And I was going to go in and pray and do whatever I need to do. And I remember as I prayed over that person, I sat back and I just was quiet. You ain't got anything to say? Just, keep quiet. And I just talk. I communicated directly. I mean, I've been there for a while. And I said, well, I'm just going to kind of leave. And if you need me, call me. I said, Brother Doug, can you stay a little longer? I said, sure. I stay as long as you want me to. And I didn't really understand. They said, but Brother Doug, if you leave, we're not sure what's going to happen. I'm thinking, what do you mean? They said, the moment you walked in here, the moment you prayed, his vitals started getting better. Now, when I walked into the room, and before I walked into the room, they had already said, this man has 24 hours to live, and he won't make it. And neat thing to say, and it wasn't me, it wasn't anything I said or anything I did. It was simply, I went in, and Jesus met the need. And that man got up out of that bed and went home. He died later, but God performed that miracle that day, and he was fine. And we built a good relationship, and I preached his funeral, and later down the road, and so God mended a relationship there, and we were able to minister to the family through the church, and God really blessed it. So you think about how those cries, it didn't really matter. He said, my daughter's 12 years old and in need, and You may say, well, somebody else has a need. It don't really matter. But when it's at your doorstep, when it's at your house, when it is in your home, that need arises and is bigger than it's ever been in your life. You can say, it bothers me when a lot of people are sick. But when it's my own, it's twice, it's intensified, it's different. And listen, he'll get your attention. He knows how to get your attention. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it in a way to get your attention. And when I think about this man, that he didn't really care because everything politically correct, he would incorrect. He didn't care what anybody else thought. When many times in the Bible, the blind man, he was hollering, David, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he prayed and he hollered and he yelled. And he did all those different things to get his attention because he knew that if he could have got Jesus' attention, that he'd get healed from Jesus. God heals. God delivers. We think about four things about this man as he drove drove him to Jesus and stopped him in the middle of his preaching, in the middle of his speaking. I got to get to Jesus. I've been in service when I was a kid growing up, and I've seen ladies run down to the altar and said, I just got to have Jesus. I just need the Lord in my life. Mid-service, you'd probably be shocked and maybe had a heart attack. May have to bring the EMTs in this morning if that happened. But I remember that lady running down there, I just got to have Jesus. Because there's some people that just are in need of Jesus this morning. He was hopeless. He was so hopeless that he interrupted Jesus while he was speaking. He wasn't going to wait. Some people say, well, I'll wait to the end of the service. We're not even promised to make it into service. If God's dealing with you, God's working in your life, I mean, honestly, we should run to the altar whine, because it's just that important that if I drop dead before this day is over, where do I spend eternity in? What does it matter what anybody else thinks? Because when I close my eyes, I'll open them up to where eternity will be forever and ever more. It's hopelessness that he knew he had to get to Jesus. He knew. His attitude was he worshiped Jesus. He fell down at the Lord's feet. Remember that he was a distinguished man. He was an elected official. He oversaw the administration, the responsibility. Most important institution in the Jewish cities of the synagogue. He was a dynamic example of how leaders should approach Christ in humility and worship and faith. When God speaks to you, you don't care what anybody else thinks. November the 9th, 1999, I didn't care what anybody thought. I got to get to Jesus. And I got to get to him right now. And guess what? I got to him, and I found him, and he forevermore changed my life. And he'll do that for you today if you'll just let him. He changed me, and he'll change you. So you see his hopelessness. You see his attitude. You see next his request. He asked Jesus to come and touch his daughter. We must ask Jesus for his touch, to touch us, to touch our need. And I'm going to tell you, he will touch your need. He may not touch it in a way that you think he should, because sometimes he touches it with yes, and sometimes he touches it with no, and sometimes he touches it with wait. But we always think that he should touch it with yes and now and not tomorrow. But you know, if we never had any battles, we'd never have any victories. And Adrian Audrey always says, you know, because the victories are so great. It's the victories that's what keeps me going. It's almost like a golfer. Why would a golfer go play golf and hit a ball here, a little ball there? Why? Because it's that one good shot that keeps them going back. It's that one good shot. Why would a hunter stay in the woods all day? Because there's that one good shot that keeps them going back. It hooks them. It hooks them for life. It hooks them. I got to go back. I got to do it. It's that one shot, that one chance, that one time that it really works. So his request, his faith is, and next is, he shall live. And the man was a man of great faith, and he believed that Jesus would come and his daughter would be alive, and he believed. His faith was, if I get Jesus to where I'm going, he's going to do that thing. A little green card. You just got to have faith that if I get that green card to somebody today, it may be the difference in their life. Their marriage may be falling apart and they need Jesus. I get them this card. Their family may be in a great need. I don't know what they're going through, but I just got to get this green card in their hand and share a little Jesus about them, because it's just that important. And if it's not important to you, it won't be important to them. Amen. I'm telling you, a preacher can only do what a preacher can do. Amen. And the preacher's job is to feed the sheep. The pastor's job is to feed the sheep. The pastor's job is to lead you and guide you and direct you and to get you to where you need to be. But it takes a family of the church house to grow. And you got to get that green card. You got to get that to Jesus. You got to tell them about it. You got to show them about it. You got to be happy. We can learn a lot from our kids. If we're happy and we know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and know it, do all three. Amen. You know what I'm saying? People are watching you. You guys are reflecting Green Valley Baptist Church. And when they see you, they see your works. They see who you are. They see what you do. They see you. What do you share and where do you take them? Do you take them to the cross? Or do you take them somewhere else? Where do you take them? His faith was so that if I can just get him there, he's going to receive Christ. When I was real young, I got saved, and nothing great about the preacher other than I just felt like the power of God was really on the preacher. I said, went home, got my sister. I said, I believe if I can get you to church, you can get saved. I got her to church, and guess what? She got saved because my faith was strong. But the faith has grown weak in America. And the faith has grown weak in churches across America. And the faith is going, and listen, the faith will only be strong when you apply the Word of God and the will of God and understanding of God in your life. And that it becomes a priority. And faith is more important than anything else in your life, and important enough that I'll forsake everything else. Because what's important is that my children are going to go to heaven. My wife's going to go to heaven. My parents are going to go to heaven. It's more important about their faith than anything I'll ever do in my life. And if I'm stuck doing ministry the rest of my life, hallelujah, praise God, I'm glad for that. But I'd rather know I've got them there than not have them at all when I get there. We see the very same faith, great faith that we must have, and we must believe that Jesus can meet our desperate needs. We see this man was driven by Jesus, by a tragic event. God uses tragedy. Did you know that? To drive us. Every man should approach Jesus in tragedy, but he should approach him in the spirit of worship and truly believe and truly trust that Jesus will help him. The Bible says in Psalms 91, verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. And Jesus responds to the Father here, desperate. And Jesus arose and he acted by following the man, by going to his house where the need was. He's coming. Jesus is coming where the need is. You say, he ain't been by my house. Is there a need to come by your house? Is there a reason to come by your house? Because if there's a need and a reason, there's a lot of begging and pleading and praying. And listen, back in the older days, the altar was full. When revival came, the altar was full. The hearts were full. The pews were full. The lives were full because there was a need for Jesus to show up and show out in the house of God. That need's not as strong as it once was. But that need can be as strong as it was in the older days as it is in the newer days. Because listen, as the days go, I believe he's coming back. I believe he's coming back soon. And he says in the last days there's going to be revivals. Why not can't we be a part of those revivals in those last days? Because I believe in a lot of ways, maybe COVID, we saw the falling away of the church, because the church across America fell away. And baptism and all those numbers have fell away. Everything has fallen away. And we better grab a hold of what's going to happen and what's coming around, because if you don't, you're going to miss it. You think about this man was driven to Jesus by tragedy. And then we see a second, not only with the hopeless cry for life, but we see the hopeless cry for healing. In verse 20 through 22, she had been hemorrhaging for 12 long years. She was desperate. She was hopeless. She was feeling ashamed, embarrassed, unworthy. According to law, she was not even allowed to be in the crowd. She was supposed to be isolated. But she was unclean, and she had heard so many wonderful things about Jesus that she believed in Jesus. And she just believed that if I can just get to him, everything would be okay. Do you believe that this morning? That if I could just get to Jesus, everything would be okay. I believe that. I believe Jesus turned as he was going through the crowd. You know, how did he know that she touched? Because he was elbow to elbow, people rubbing, people touching. How did he know that she touched the hem of the garment? How did he know? Jesus turned to that woman, and there was no way Jesus could have felt for sure, except he was Jesus. But as he pressed through the crowd, he stepped in behind and then she touched the robe, and he knew. And how? Because her faith touched him. Her faith. God knows it when our faith is there. He knows it. When He hears us when we cry out. He hears us. Now, to hear our prayers, we must be in a righteous manner. We're supposed to be right with God for Him to hear our prayers. We're supposed to be right with God. Most people treat God like the Staple commercial. You ever seen it? Push it. All problems cure. I don't need you today, God, but then tomorrow I may. I try to live every day like I need Him that day. Because there's going to come a day when I need Him more than I needed Him yesterday. And I serve at a church that every day somebody needs Him. And I want to be righteous and I want to be where I need to be so that they can hear the prayer that God says. Her faith touched Him. It's in faith that touches Jesus. And faith will never go unnoticed and nor be ignored by Jesus. And virtue, the power, the life went out from Jesus into her. And so when a person places his faith in Jesus Christ, when he places it, you think about that. The power and life in that person goes into that. And that is the life and salvation are all about the infusion of God. A lot of times we go to different things, we get infusion. Why not get infused to God today? Why not give your life over to Him and He gives your life and He infuses into you? November the 9th, 1999, I got everything that day. Now I'm growing every day since then on the power and the life that God gives me. But I got everything that day. Now He says, just keep reading, keep studying, keep doing this, and I'm going to show you that you may grow and that you be strengthened through all your life. You think about this. You think about her faith. You think about the virtue. You think about Jesus saw this woman and He saw her desperate. He saw her in confusion and hopelessness. He saw her in need of faith. And He saw her heart. He went out to her from the depth of compassion. He went to her and He touched her in a way that she had never been touched before. And when He touched her, everybody else knew that she had been touched. I don't know if y'all remember my testimony very well. But when I was in high school, I got saved when I was a senior in high school. I was in drugs and alcohol and all those different things. When He touched me, He made me whole. He took all those things away from me. Thank God I don't have to touch any of those things anymore. And I've been different ever since. I went from a shy, bashful kid to be able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. I not have a shy bone in my body to go out. I'll talk. My wife will say, I'll talk to a fence post if it talked back to me. I just talk to everybody. And if I catch you trying to dodge me at the Walmart, I'll catch you on the other aisle. You know, I'm always looking. Do you see that person? Hold on, honey. No, I just don't ever want to say, boy, I saw the preacher and he didn't want to speak to me. I go to Lebanon sometimes. I see some of you and I'll make a dart. I say, hold a minute, I saw so-and-so. and go out and try to stop to say hi. Jesus has went out of His way. And He went out of His way. And He went out of His way as we were sinners. God looked up when He went to the cross. He knew who I was. He knew what I was going to do. He knew who I was going to be. He knew everything. And He still went to the cross. And if He didn't go to the cross for anybody else, He went to the cross for me. But He did not go to the cross for just me. He went to the cross for everybody in this room and outside this room. And that's the reason it's important. Because when you go out and you give that green card, you're giving it to some daughter, some son, some grandson, some grandmother, somebody that's important to someone is getting that card. And you should be important to you because you're trying to grow the kingdom, not just your church, but the kingdom of God. I got to have one. If one person comes to know Jesus with me giving out their green card, hallelujah, I just got to be a part of the kingdom of God. Take that in for a little bit. I got to be a part of a big plan that God put together. You got a chance to be a part of God's plan. The question is, will you be a part of it? You may or may not. You may miss out on the greatest thing, but Jesus is the greatest thing that you can share and be a part of. You think about it. Not only did he see the woman, but he adopted the woman. He called her, the scripture says, daughter. He adopted her into the family of God, and he spoke to her in behalf of her father and gave her the assurance that she was accepted by God. Don't matter if anybody in this room accepts you or not. If Jesus accepts you, that's all that matters. They'll get the choice. Do you still want to go to heaven or not? Because I'm going. Are you going? Are you going to get to Jesus today? I got to get to Jesus. And when I think about got to get to Jesus, I have to. I got to get to Jesus. Because without getting to him, I have nothing. Nothing. It's so important because one of these days, Dr. Don or me or Brandon or somebody is going to say words over your body. And we have no hope and no peace to give if you've given us no hope and peace to base that on. But if you walk this aisle, if you told Jesus to ask him into your life, we got something to share. We got something to praise about. The worst time to be and the greatest morning there will be is when you don't know that they know. Then there ain't nothing but to mourn because there's no hope in that. But with Jesus, there's hope. I hope your hope is in him. I hope that's what it is. Jesus made her whole. His virtue, his power, he was infused into her. And she was saved and she was made whole. And she had feared facing Jesus because she thought she may not be accepted. Have you ever been like that? I remember on November 9, 1999, the devil told me he won't take you like you are. He won't accept you like you are. You're too dirty. You're too useless. You're too worthless. And I'm going to tell you, when I got down to the aisle and I got Jesus, they took me over to this room over here. Not here, but in that church that I got saved, there was a room right there. They took me back. I must have been real lost. They took five preachers took me back. And I came out, and I was changed forevermore. Forevermore. Would you come today? Would you come and just find Jesus? Say, I got to get to Jesus. I got to know what you know. I got to understand what you're talking about. We see in verse 23 through 26, and I'm almost done, the hopeless cry for immediate response. Again, the desperate cry was by the ruler and father in behalf of his daughter. And there's several facts here. First, he had the trying of delay. We don't like to wait. But sometimes in waiting we grow. Amen. The Egyptians couldn't come out and go to the promised land because they had the slavery mentality. They wasn't ready to go into the promised land. And then when they got in the wilderness, they just complained. They just could not be satisfied. They wasn't happy. The old saying is, we pick it sometimes. Maybe they was Baptists. I don't know. Anyway, they was never satisfied. They asked for food. He gave them manna, then they complained. He gave them water, then they complained. He gave them that, he complained. Sometimes, pastors, we think sometimes, man, what are they complaining about? They complained then, and they're going to complain now. That's just what people do. But there's coming a day when there will be no complaining and no wailing and no fussing and no grumbling. Only what we'll see is the one who saved us. And my dad said, I think about it as I know that these are my last days. And oh, he raised that old frail arm in the bed and he said, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing Jesus. And I want to lay down and lay my crowns down and lay my face down and worship him. And that's the way we should be. That's the way it should be. There's time of delaying. And as they were delayed by healing this woman with the issue of blood, he still had, my daughter's still dead. I need you. My daughter is still dead. I just think if you touch her, I don't think she's really dead. She just needs a touch from you. There's some people this morning, they're just dead in their seats. And they just need a touch of Jesus this morning. But you got to come if you're going to get. You got to come if you're going to receive. You got to make an effort on your part if you're going to see who He is. We see the atmosphere of the ruler's house here. It was noisy. The grief was loud. The loud noises and the grief do not create the proper atmosphere for Jesus' work and meet the needs. We should rid ourselves of distractions. Quiet, get quiet, meditate, pray, trust the Lord. How many times do we even do that? Because we're so busy. So busy. We're busy. Ball games, everything else. And the most important thing is Jesus Christ. This world, I don't care if you have everything you ever dreamed of having. Listen to me real quick. This world is the only hell you'll ever live in if you're saved. Amen. But if you're lost, this will be the best you'll ever get. Take that in consideration. If you are lost, this right here that you may complain about or don't complain about, this is as best it's going to get. But if you're a child of God, like I am, this is as bad as it's going to get. So when those bad days come, say, that's okay, because my best days are ahead. They lie ahead of me. And if I did not think it was worth the battle, I'd quit today and do something else. But it's not, because there's one more soul out there that needs Jesus. There's another soul out there that needs Jesus. And one of these days, that last soul's going to be saved, and He's going to break those eastern skies, and He's coming back. You say, how do you know how He's coming back? Because the Bible tells us that He is going, He's coming back the way He left. And He left and He arose on Mount Olives, and He went back into the clouds, and He's coming back the same way. And He says, you'll know it, and everybody else will know it, the way that He returns. You're going to know it when He returns. You're going to see Him. Boy, that's going to be wonderful. Grave is going to break open. We're going to be gone. Twinkling of a star. So it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to last long. Boom, boom, bye. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready? And so you see the trying time. You see the strong demand. Jesus demanded quiet, powerful atmosphere. He said, give place, the Scripture says. Depart, go, be gone with the noise and the loud grief. And there's no room for this behavior in the face of faith. And we see the daughter's death here. She was dead. Luke says unmistakably that the people laughed Jesus to scorn. Next time people laugh at you, say, that's okay, they laughed at Jesus. Next time somebody mocks you, that's okay, they mocked Jesus. And I don't know about y'all, the last time I checked, I'm no better than my master. I am not any better than Jesus. And I never will be. And you won't either. So when things happen like that, don't worry about it. And knowing it was dead, and that's in Luke 9:53. Mark said in Mark 5:35 that certain ones even came to meet the ruler and said, thy daughter is dead. The mourner's reaction. They scorned Jesus because they knew that she was dead. And they were all aroused around death all the time, especially these paid mourners that they paid to come in and mourn over their loved ones. But I want to tell you, the power of His hand, the power of His touch, and the description of our Lord's power is both beautiful and it's assuring to us. He went in, amen. He went in, and He was always coming in to where we are. If our hearts will only reach out to Him, He's knocking. The question is, will you go to the door today? And will you answer? Will you answer? Or will you hide? Because you're ashamed of who you are and what you've done. November 9th, 1989, I was ashamed of what I'd done and ashamed of who I was, but I heard the knock. I said, boy, I need to go. I'm going to go because He says He'll save the wicked, the vilest person, and I went, and He did, and He's changed me, and I'm not the same person I used to be. And I'm not the same. I don't have anything like I used to be. I'm not shy no more and bashful anymore. I don't mind being put on the spot anymore. But at one time, I was scared and afraid. But boy, how God changes us. And He took her by the hand. He raised her up and she arose. Jesus will rise you up. He will meet you where you are. He'll meet you. He'll meet your desperate needs. He'll meet your desperate situations. He will meet you if you're willing to be met. John 5, 22 through 30 said Jesus will rise up, meeting our desperate needs on this earth, and He will also rise up in the last day. He will rise up and He will be blessed. He will be your Savior. If you'll let Him, but you got to let Him be your Savior. You say, I get a choice. Some people may not believe that. I get a choice. But I don't know why anybody say no to Christ. But they do. But that's okay, because if you say no to Christ, He's going to say, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I hope you don't wait that long. Last thing I'm going to say, and I know I said that before, but I really am at the last thing. The results of His power, Jesus' fame, was spread abroad right here in 36. And the raising of the dead was proof that Jesus was the Messiah. The people talked and they talked and His power. I want to tell you, I always said this many times. People are not going to share unless you are on fire for Jesus. But if the preacher gets on fire for Jesus, some people just come and watch it burn. Amen. Some people just come, I got to see what's going on. And sometimes they just hear you guys talking about the chatter and the clatter of what's going on, how Jesus has moved in, how Jesus has moved in your heart, how He's moved in your life, and He's changing you, and He's changing your church, and He's changing your community, because He's moved in to change your life. But you've got to get to Jesus. You've got to get to Jesus, because one day it'll be too late. And if it wasn't for that, I'd hang my hat up and I'd go home and I'd do something else. But I just know that people's got to get to Jesus. And I know somebody's mother, grandmother, I may never understand it. But there was a movie one time by Sheffy. And I say that a lot when I preach, because I really liked that movie and it inspired me. An old moonshiner on that movie. His name, Brother Sheffy, Brother Robert Sheffy, went by to visit him. He said, Brother, he said, I'll come by to tell you about Jesus. He said, you better get out of here, son, I'll kill you. He said, I'm going to come by here and tell you about Jesus. He said, Preacher, I'm going to tell you one more time that if you don't leave, I'm going to kill you. He said, well, I'm going to pray before I do. And I'm going to pray that God will bring a tree down and destroy that moonshine and destroy that shine and bring you to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. And he started laughing. Brother Roberts began to pray, began to raise his hand, began to share. And then he left. And he said, now, preacher, you remember what I told you. You come back again, I'll kill you. And that night, God's storm moved in, rolled in. And that night, that tree fell, destroyed his moonshine. And Brother Moonshiner gave his life to Christ, and he never did know that. But what happened was this. He come knocking on the door. Brother Robert, you don't know me, but you know my granddad. I just want to let you know that he's passed on. But when you came by and prayed over that steel, and you prayed for him to receive Christ, that night he received Christ. When you left, God destroyed that steel with that tree. And so when you things in your life and you hold more dear than God, and he destroys those things, and he can destroy those things, God is all that matters. I've seen a little post going around on Facebook. What matters is knowing Jesus. What matters is that your kids know the way to heaven. Man, I could football. I could tell you all kind of plays. I could hit people. I do all. It didn't do me no good. I just had fun when I was in high school. Ever since then, it's not done me any good. But the one thing that did me good was my senior year. I got saved, and I've been able to share that testimony with everybody. It's important. because I want to look out when I get there, and I want to see my wife, and I want to see my children. I want to see my parents. I want to see you. I want to see you. I know that's hard for you may believe, but I want to see you. It's that important to me. Now, if it wasn't important to me, I'd quit today. I'd just hang up my shoes. I'd walk away. It's important to me that you receive Christ. You got to get to Jesus. The Bible says this. Y'all go ahead and come and get ready for the invitation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, separation forevermore. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about it. Have you ever had a birthday? Anybody ever got a birthday present? Raise your hand. Christmas present? Do you have a present that you never opened? You got one sitting at home? You like the way it wrapped and you just left it there? You know, whatever's inside is doing you no good because you've never opened it. Some of us treat Jesus like the unopened box. It's there for you to open. It's there for you to participate. It's there for you to enjoy for the rest of your life, for all eternity. But you got to open the box, and you got to receive what's in the box. If you don't get to Jesus and you don't receive Jesus, you have not, because you've asked not. I wonder this morning, would you ask? Would you do that? In Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou should confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. Believe and receive. Last thing in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Take that whosoever and put your name there. For Doug shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. If you'll take that whosoever and put your name there and say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not what Doug says. That's not what Steve says. That's not what any of us says. That is what the Lord says in the Word of God. And He says, if you'll ask, you shall receive. And no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Amen. Nobody else is giving out the invitations. That's going to count. But God's giving you one this morning. Would you come? Would you come while there's time? While there's hope? I said before I left, I wanted to preach a message that if I never preached here again, that's how you ought to preach.